Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Off and rolling on a hump day, Wednesday, September 24, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn on X at Jan_Kuhn71. Alongside, as always, executive producer of the show, that would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 99. Connor, what's the word, brother?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. A little rainy. I'm a little down in the dumps because of it. I don't know why.
I love it.
And it happens. Oh, you need that. Are you going to be like the...
I thrive in
the
cloudy
middle age? Are you
going
to be the middle-aged guy that every time it rains, you say, we needed this.
We did need it. We were in a drought. We absolutely needed it. But yeah,
I love the rain. You're that guy.
It's no secret. I love cloudy days. I love the rain. I love it being cool.
Do you write poetry?
No, but I usually read.
Okay. All right, 3 hours of talk on the way. Courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We'll get to overreaction, not an overreaction off the top. And Drew Brees, who usually does not speak out of his rear end, spoke out of his rear end today on First Take about the Eagles offense. And I really want to address this. It's very annoying what is continuing to happen with the narrative around the Philadelphia Eagles, who have shown nothing but dominance through their last 20 games, winning a Super Bowl along the way. But people are trying to down them every step of the way. I just cannot understand it in the slightest. So we'll get to overreaction, not an overreaction, talk about that. Also, we did have some NBA rankings published today. We had three Grizzlies in the top 100 for the ESPN player rankings. That would be Zach Edey. I think he came in at, what, number 88? Then you had John Morant at number 33. Okay, we know how you feel. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. at 31. Yeah, right. Like, that one feels about right. But we're going to break down where Ja's at. Is it correct? Is it not? And then talk about the rest of the top 100. And we only have 11 or 100 through 11, so we don't have the top 10 yet.
Some truly insane choices.
There is some very bizarre choices, and I think there's a narrative there, or like a bit of an agenda that they played with some of these guys and where they were ranked. Injuries seem to matter a lot in the ESPN player rankings. Is that a fair statement based on just a gander at those rankings?
That is a fair statement, yes.
Yeah. So
injuries matter. Age doesn't, though, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. It's weird. Weird. Also, today, bottom half of the hour, you know what we do on a Wednesday on top of overreaction, not an overreaction. We get to the post-week 3 NFL power rankings. And needless to say, I have a shakeup. Packers lost a game. Lions won a game. Ravens lost a game. So there is a massive shakeup.
The Chargers won a game.
In my top five, and the Chargers, shout out Isaiah.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Shout out our guy Isaiah. But I have some shakeups in my power rankings this week. We'll have a trip around the NFL at 5:30. Blitz will be at 6:30. Talk about some of week 5 college football matchups, including Georgia and Alabama. And as we sit here on a Wednesday, how do I feel? I'll let you know around 6:30. As far as guests are concerned, David Cobb will join at 5 o'clock, and Colton Denning we'll join at 6 o'clock. A lot of college football to talk with them today on the Gabe Kuhn Show. But let's go ahead and open the Gabe Kuhn Show by getting to overreaction, not an overreaction.
All right, Gabe, first one. Drew Brees joined First Take to talk about the Eagles' offense. And this is what he had to say. First off, already dead. So my question to you is, Drew Brees is right. The Eagles' offense is boring. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Overreaction. Not just because through 3 weeks, I do think the Eagles' offense has been relatively boring. They're playing to win the game. They're not playing to put up offensive stats. So, okay, I can get with that. The reason this is an overreaction, though, is because I reject the overall premise of the conversation. Winning 19 out of their last 20 games is not boring. Winning playoff games is not boring. Winning a Super Bowl is not boring. Having a good offensive line and the best, most dynamic running back in the National Football League who ran for 2,000 yards last year is not boring. Having a quarterback who can use his legs and use his arm is not boring. Having A.J. Brown, one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League, and Devontae Smith, one of the best wide receiver twos in the National Football League, that's not boring. So, I just reject the idea behind this offense and this team being boring. Winning's not boring, Connor. And I don't know why we have to sort of pick apart what the Eagles do after every single week. It's getting to be annoying. It really is. And here's the other thing that I'd like to mention, and I brought these stats up earlier in the week to give everybody an I told you so who was worried about the Eagles' passing offense. Jalen Hurts, when he was trailing against the Rams in that comeback that they had this past Sunday, and they were down 26-7, 18 for 28, 212, three passing touchdowns. That's not boring. And he threw it past the sticks on a consistent basis. And on those throws, according to PFF, 10 for 15, 169, three touchdowns, and 144.2 passer rating. What's boring about that? Please, someone enlighten me. Let me know. Is this all about the tush push? Is this all about offensive line running the day and Saquon Barkley running the day? Because that's not boring to me. It just isn't. And Jeff Saturday, God love him. He's one of my favorite guys on ESPN. At this point, who covers the NFL. For obvious reasons, he's a center. I played center in college, looked up to the guy, and I certainly look up to him as an NFL analyst and a football analyst in general. And you should go back. He was on Get Up talking about Drew Brees' comments, and I thought he broke it down perfectly. Can I be honest about Drew Brees and how the Saints ran their offense back in the day? Kind of boring. I watched Michael Thomas set the receptions record catching sticks and slants the whole year. I watched him, and Jeff Saturday broke this down in the Super Bowl that they won against the Colts, the Saints. He had 27 passes within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's basically a run play. That's boring. I'm sick of the constant poking of holes in what Jalen Hurts, the Eagles, and this Eagles offense is doing on a consistent basis. For the last 20 weeks, they've won 19 games in their last 20 tries. I don't know how you could even come close to considering that boring. They deserve to be on national TV. I like watching that team. They're fun to watch. I think we just need to grow an appreciation for what they consistently do week to week. That's my opinion.
I think you could make an argument. What the Eagles did through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season this year was boring. That's fine. But to say that the Eagles overall are boring on offense, especially after we just watched them have a great comeback victory, I find that to be a bit silly. And I just looked it up because I was curious. Last year, the Eagles were the eighth ranked offense in total offense with yards per game, 367.2. Seventh
number,
in EPA
number
per
one
drive.
Or number two rushing offense? Correct, I believe. It's either them or the Ravens are at 1-2 last year.
They were 14th. They were 14th.
And rushing offense?
Per game, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's not this year?
I do wonder if it might be pulling numbers from this year.
That's kind of interesting. I could have sworn they were number one or number two last year.
Let me try to check it out.
They had a 2,000 yard rusher.
I know. That's why I don't understand.
I don't think they were 14th, but either way, that's beyond the point. But they're a good offense. sometimes they play to win the game. They play ball control, and that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. When you're a good team, you're able to do that, and you're able to control games that way. I don't think we should dock them and call them boring because of that. When they are asked, as we talked about last week and as we saw this Sunday, Connor, when they are asked to air it out, be a little bit more dynamic, they do it. They do it really well. And Jalen Hurts makes the throws. So I'm just all of this, just needless to say, I'm really tired of this. I'm really tired of this narrative that continues to grow. And you did find the stat.
Can't confirm. They are the second okay. They were the second okay. best offense in terms of rushing last year. Ravens were one. Commanders, third.
Yep. And Bucks, the Lions fourth.
The Bucks were fourth.
Bucks fourth.
Yeah.
Lions somewhere around.
Lions in the top 10. Okay. Yeah. Lions okay. were right below the Packers, and then it was the Lions. So yep. That was interesting. Okay, next up, Jackson Dart is set to start for the Giants starting this week against the Chargers. The Giants are making the right decision. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Okay, bear with me. please bear with me. Not an overreaction. But, but I do hate the fact that this decision is being made out of desperation, right? You start the year with Russell Wilson. You think he can win you a couple of games, save your job if you're Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, the GM. You see you start 0-3. Russell Wilson looks absolutely awful. And now you turn to Jackson Dart, a rookie, in your toughest stretch of the entire season. I've covered it on multiple occasions this week, but I'll do it again. Five of their next six games are as follows. Chargers this week. Two games against the Eagles. They'll be at the Broncos in that stretch, and then they'll end it versus the 49ers in week 9. So I don't think this is the best situation for Jackson Dart to be thrust into. And I said this around the NFL draft. I'll say it again. I was always a little bit dubious and cynical about this situation Jackson Dart was being thrown into. Not because of Brian Daboll himself, just because they have done a couple of years of just straight losing. And Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, who drafted this kid, may be out the door after this season. And we've seen on multiple occasions, when you bring in a new GM, when you bring in a new head coach who ultimately picked a quarterback in the first round, that quarterback can get given up on by the new regime. It's like, look at Josh Rosen with the Arizona Cardinals. They didn't even give him a fair shake at it. You just see it pretty constantly. So I think this is the right decision for the Giants in 2025 and 2026, this season. But I am a bit concerned for what this will mean for Jackson Dart going forward. Will he lose confidence because of the caliber of defense he's playing in the next 6 weeks? Will he, you know, stay with the Giants long term if his head coach and his GM get fired? I'm curious about that. But I think this is the correct decision. I just think it's being made out of desperation, and I don't like that for Jackson Dart himself.
I also just don't like that it's going to be against the Chargers. That is a very difficult matchup, I think, for Jackson Dart.
Because Jackson Dart, largely, when he was at Ole Miss, he liked to be a home run hitter and push the ball downfield. And if we've learned anything about the Chargers through 3 weeks, they are going to make you stay patient. They are going to make you check the ball down. Throw crossing routes, throw it, you can't really throw it to the sticks. They're going to make you, as a young quarterback in Jackson Dart, stay as patient as possible. Can he do that? Week one starting, I'm not so sure. But it's just a desperate move for a desperate staff. And I think Jackson Dart is being put into a situation that's probably not the best for his first stretch of starts in the National Football League. Although that Giants team needs some type of energy. They need something.
Yeah, they do need something. But I think it's tough to throw them in against the Chargers when they've made Patrick Mahomes, Geno Smith, and Bo Nix all look extremely uncomfortable for the entire game. So, yeah, Jackson Dart, first start's going to be up against one of the better defenses in the NFL. No pressure at all. I don't know. It's one of those deals where I understand wanting to get a young quarterback in. He's exciting. The Giants don't really have anything to play for this season, so you can give the fan base something to look forward to and a potential peek into the future. But I can't help but think the only actual reason he's playing is Daboll needs as many wins as possible to keep his job.
Yes.
And
it's desperate.
It's just, like you said, we see over and over and over again,
guys,
throwing these young quarterbacks in before they're ready, before they need to be thrown in, and it eventually causes them to lose confidence. Now, Jackson Dart might end up being a success.
There's some quarterbacks that have been able to sort of stay the course.
Yes.
Figure it out.
I feel like the pile of wasn't able to stay the course, though
yes,
is
sure.
much larger
sure.
than the stay the course pile.
I agree. Listen, I'm a St. Louis Rams fan. I watch Sam Bradford, okay? I know about losing confidence in a terrible situation. And speaking of which, worth mentioning about the Giants, their former All-Pro, Pro Bowl left tackle, very highly paid left tackle, Andrew Thomas. He's been in and out of the lineup. I don't know if he'll play. So that's another thing to pay attention to. I don't want to see Jackson Dart get absolutely clobbered back there, but I think that may be a reality.
It just seems like when you're looking at their schedule, next week they're playing the Saints.
Okay.
Maybe just
right.
let Russell Wilson get one more weekend.
Yes.
Let him take the hits.
Maybe.
He's been there before.
But then if you're going to start Jackson Dart going forward, you still have the Eagles twice. You still have
that Broncos defense.
You still have the 49ers. Like,
but at least the first game, you're not like, hey, here's one of the best defenses in the NFL this season. Good luck, kid.
Yeah, I get it. But he's going to be
at
playing
least
some tough defenses even after that Chargers game.
So, right.
I don't know. Let him get his feet wet, but I am concerned for the kid. I really am. I don't think anybody that's being reasonable about this situation can look at it and just say, oh, he's going to light the NFL on fire. It's a tough situation to get your feet wet in the National Football League these next 5 or 6 weeks.
If he goes out there and lays an egg, is Russell Wilson getting the job back? Do you think this is a
don't forget,
a weak tryout?
Can I say this, too? They also have Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Like, turn to Jameis, maybe? Like,
before going back to Wilson?
Probably.
Are you surprised they skipped Jameis to go to Dart?
Listen, I can't get that four-play sequence out of my brain in the tight red zone the other night against the Chiefs from Russell Wilson. Like, I don't want to see him play football. Certainly not this year. I think some people that are Giants fans, Jeffrey Wright may say, I don't want to see him play football ever again. But that four-play sequence where he throws the ball out of bounds, gets the intentional grounding, runs for 4 yards up the middle, and then throws two balls into the second row of the stands on third and fourth down. Like, I'm never going to get that out of my mind. Like, I think it's over for Russell Wilson.
Well,
I think most people understand that, though.
And to your point about Jeffrey, I was listening to their show earlier and listened to it yesterday. He said this is the most excited he's been for a Giants game in a long time, and that's the whole point. That's
yes.
why they're starting Jackson Dart. They want some excitement there. You do have
you
these
need some juice.
Very young, good players in New York. You could begin to build something, and if Jackson Dart goes out there and he shows flashes, then maybe they have something there for the future. Maybe Daboll has something there for the future.
Simple advice for game planning and for Jackson Dart in general once he actually takes a snap. Cam Scataboo, please use Cam Scataboo as we get into this weekend against the Chargers. Now, they'll probably stuff him a couple of times, but try to get the ball into his hands if you're Brian Daboll. But also, lean on Malik Nabers, lean on Wandale Robinson, lean on some of the vets there in that receiving core if you're Jackson Dart. If you feel you're under pressure, if you feel uncomfortable, just give Malik Nabers a shot. You know what I mean? Like, just do that. You know, it's better than nothing. So I hope this stretch of ball that he's going to have to play in all likelihood as a starter, I hope it doesn't make him lose confidence, but it's something I'm going to be watching very closely.
How bad is the Cowboys' defense?
It must be horrible. It must be absolutely
Russell Wilson
terrible.
Looked unbelievable against the Cowboys.
And then Caleb Williams backs it up by being NFC Offensive Player of the Week. With, what, 289 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions? Yeah, so it must be really awful.
All right, staying on Russell Wilson, the guy that Dart is replacing. It seems like it may be over for Russell Wilson, but I have a question for you, Gabe. Russell Wilson, Hall of Famer, overreaction, not an overreaction?
Guys, I know how people feel. I get how the last 4 years of Russell Wilson's career have played out. In Denver, he rubs Sean Payton the wrong way. wanted his own office, wanted a little bit too much credence there. They end up trading him. They wanted to waive all of his money. He didn't want to do that. Ends up with the Steelers. Sort of mixed bag of results. Now he ends up with the Giants, and it's really ugly. And at one point, we realized that he was considered elite. We don't consider him that anymore. But I think that's sort of the normal life cycle for a quarterback in the National Football League if you're not named Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Brett Favre. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's just sort of natural. But for me, it's not an overreaction. Like, Russell Wilson is a Hall of Famer. He won a Super Bowl. He's been on the All-Pro list multiple occasions. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler. He was the NFL passer rating leader in 2015. He was NFL passing touchdowns leader in 2017. I don't think we can just take his career and try to discredit it because of the twilight of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not fair to do to Russell Wilson. This was a guy who came into the league as a third-round pick and outdid any of the expectations that were on the table for him. I mean, multiple times threw for 4,000 yards, multiple times threw for over 30 touchdowns, usually kept the interceptions to a minimum. I know that there's some people out there trying to discredit his entire career because of what happened from 2022 on, once he ended up getting traded and getting the big contract with the Broncos. But when you look at his career as a whole, what he accomplished in Seattle, making the playoffs year after year after year, being a Pro Bowler year after year after year, always being on the field year after year after year, it's impossible for me to sit here and say he's not a Hall of Famer. He's done more than enough to be worthy of that. Will he be some first ballot guy? Probably not. But at some point, Russell Wilson absolutely deserves to be in the Hall.
I tend to agree. I think that Russell Wilson is a Hall of Famer. And when you look at some of the other quarterbacks who are in the Hall of Fame, I think that his stats line up
well. He's thrown for nearly 47,000 yards.
I think he's top 20 in NFL all-time of yards thrown. I know that. He's won a Super Bowl. He was part of one of the more memorable eras that a team had in the NFL. He never won an MVP. I don't think he won a Super Bowl MVP, but he has a lot of accomplishments, 10 Pro Bowls. That is a Hall of Fame type of quarterback to me. And I understand that the last few seasons has been a bit up and down, but to be honest, we have a lot of Hall of Fame quarterbacks who have had up and down seasons toward the end. So I do think that when you look at his career as a whole, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I understand somebody that says no, but right now when you look at the Hall of Fame predictor on Pro Football Reference, he has a 94% chance to make it into the Hall of Fame. He's just below Terry Bradshaw and right above Roger Staubach.
Both
Hall of Famers. Yeah. So he's right in that little group of players.
It's kind of strange that it's a debate to me. Can I be honest? I find it weird that it's a debate.
Do you think he has a better case or a worse case than like a guy like Eli?
Right on par. Like, Eli went to only 4 Pro Bowls. And he was playing in the same NFC largely that Russell Wilson was. Russell Wilson went to 10. I think same amount of All-Pros. And no, actually, Russell Wilson has more All-Pros. So, like, he's got one more Super Bowl, and Eli's got the 2 Super Bowl MVPs, so that gives him a lot of credence. So he's no doubt. But he threw for more yards, slightly more passing touchdowns. But you know, like, I think if Eli's worthy of it, I think Russell Wilson should be worthy of it.
I mean, when you look at the stats,
there's some give and take with the accolades there that I think you could make the case for Russell Wilson and Eli Manning being on that same sort of plane as Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Well, it's just when you look at the stats, like, Russell Wilson is right there next to Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach. The counting numbers, Wilson blows him out of the water.
Of course, of course. It's different NFL altogether.
Different NFL, but I think that he should get in.
I'm just saying, like,
is he first ballot? Maybe not. He should get in.
Can I ask this question? Let me ask this question. Let's say he retired in 2021 and never went to the Broncos and never had this little twilight, you know, travel around the country with Sierra doing whatever the hell he's doing right now. Not playing good quarterback. I know he's not doing that. But let's say he retired then. Was there going to be a debate? Do you think there would have been a debate had he retired in 2022 before that season? With what he had accomplished. 10 Pro Bowls still, you know, he would have been, the counting stats would have been a little bit down, but somewhere around 36, 37,000 passing yards. Still would have been in the 300s with passing touchdowns. Like, I just get the sense that this debate is sprung because of these last 4 years and how they went. I feel like if we never had these last 4 years, we're never even debating whether or not he'd get into the Hall of
Fame. Do you want to hear a shocking thing?
Sure. I'm always up for
he
that.
Was a, I didn't realize he was a Pro Bowler last year.
16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, baby. Deep balls to George Pickens. Why not?
I did not realize that Russell Wilson was a Pro Bowler for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. I just think this is a debate that has really come along because of his last 4 years here in the National Football League. I don't think that these last 4 years should take away from the great football he played with the Seattle Seahawks over those years.
Okay, let's get into it. It's time. Ja was ranked number 33 in ESPN's top 100 NBA player rankings. Ja is ranked correctly. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Oh, God, this is tough for me. This is tough for me. I'm going to say overreaction, though. And the reason I say that is because it sort of depends on what your definition is of a top 100 player or a top 35 player in the National Basketball Association. Like, for me, Ja, when he's on the floor, he means the most to this Grizzlies team when it comes to winning. And he never disappoints for the most part. Like, he may have a clunker every once in a while, but he always seems to show up. And when he is actually on the court and playing, and I understand the injuries could dock him a little bit, and it seems like on this list, a lot of guys got docked because of the injuries they have sustained. Like, for God's sakes, Joel Embiid, a former MVP winner from 2 years ago, is 47th. He's 47th. Now, I think Joel Embiid and Ja Morant are completely different. Joel Embiid, I don't think has good ball ahead of him. I don't think he has good basketball even when he's on the floor. Ja Morant, to me, still has really good basketball he can play at his young age, even with all the injuries that he has sustained. But I think he's more of a top 25 player when you actually see him play, when he's actually out there. You cannot stop him from getting into the paint and scoring. I wish he would grow a mid-range and a three-point ball a little bit more. He's one of the best passers, natural passers in the NBA. He's one of the best playmakers in the NBA. Yes, defense, we could talk about that, but I don't think this list took defense into consideration all that much. So I think he's more of a top 25 player. I think you could honestly make the case that he's a top 20 player, even going into next year with all the injuries that he's had. But he was 30-20 in the 50 games that he played last year. He meant a lot to their success last year, the Grizzlies. I know the way it ended last year was not great, but when Ja Morant is on the floor, he's one of the best players in the National Basketball Association. I don't think when he is on the floor, he is the 33rd best player in the National Basketball Association. That's just generally how I feel. I know this is from emotion and viewing and using my eyes, not necessarily bringing up stats, but my eyes tell me Ja Morant's not the 33rd best basketball player in the NBA that we sit in right now.
I think it's a ridiculous ranking. It's ridiculous, especially when you look at some of the players who are ahead of him. Franz Wagner, no.
Right.
Franz Wagner is not better than Ja Morant. Jaren Jackson Jr., love Jaren to death. Love him. Happy that he's 31. He's not better than Ja Morant.
That's another point. It's like
Scotty Barnes?
Here's the thing.
Hell no.
Grizzlies.
Hell no.
Let's have this conversation real quick, and I'm not trying to completely kill Jaren in any way, shape, or form. He's very vital
I think
to the success
of underranked
of,
a little bit.
Of the Grizzlies. But like when we're comparing him and Ja Morant and success for the Grizzlies when one of them is off the floor, Ja Morant without Jaren Jackson Jr., you still feel good about winning a ball game. Jaren Jackson Jr. with Ja Morant off the floor, I do not have that same feeling in my stomach about the Grizzlies having success, you know, game in, game out. So like that bothers me. You know, a guy like even Bam Adebayo.
I'm going to get to them in a second. I'm just going to go through guys who are ranked ahead of Ja. Scotty Barnes, absolutely not. No way. Trae Young, fine. I'm okay with that one. I actually think that Trae
Young. I think
he's
a little underranked.
Is underranked. 29. Tyrese Maxey, fine. I understand that one.
Okay.
Karl Anthony Towns, fine. Derek White?
No.
No. I love Derek White. Derek White should be an all-star.
We both love Derek White.
Have it tattooed on my back.
Yes.
Hell no! Derek White. Better than Ja Morant. Sangoon? No. No, he's
Chet,
not.
Chet, next.
Hell no. Hell no, Chet Holmgren. Not better. James Harden in the year of our Lord, 2025?
No, it's interesting. Like, the Chet Holmgren ranking, it's almost like we forgot what he looked like for most of the playoffs for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Was he vital, especially on the defensive end, and the impact he made there?
Jalen Williams is 11.
But offensively,
get out of here.
Chet did not give me enough in that playoff run, in that championship run, to warrant being a top 25 player in the NBA. I think that's nuts.
Pascal Siakam, 22? No.
I love Pascal, though.
Bam? No. No. Bam's not better than Ja. Kawhi? Fine.
Okay.
Jalen Brown, fine.
Fine.
Jimmy Butler at 18?
A weird one.
Is it 2020? What are we doing?
That's a weird
what
one.
What are we doing?
And you know what?
That's crazy.
Injuries and being off the floor should have docked him, too.
Jimmy Butler had a career worst season last year, and we're putting him as the 18th best player in the NBA. You're telling me he made a jump from the 28th player last season to 18? Did everybody watch the same games that I did? Did we all see the same things?
Here's the thing. I think the trend here is
I understand that the Warriors got better with him. Jimmy had a career worst season.
Sure, they seem to be docking players who have injury concerns and lifting up players that have been on the floor a little bit more consistent. I think that's what we're looking at. But like, even with Jimmy Butler, he didn't play for the Heat last year. How many games did he even end up playing last year, Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler? Yeah, I can go look.
Because he was hurt. He was in and out of the lineup with the Warriors, at least at the beginning. Like,
Jimmy played 30 games last year for the Warriors.
Yeah, so like, I don't really.
He played.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
25 games for the Heat.
So he played 55 games. Ja played 50.
He scored 17.5 points per game, shot 30% from three, shot 27% from three with the Heat.
Obviously, the argument that the Warriors fans would bring back at you is, well, Jimmy means more on the defensive end than Ja Morant. But, like, okay, I'm not really going to.
It's terrible in the playoffs.
I'm not going to sit here and argue about that. But I also think that when we're just doing a one-for-one, who means more to the team that they're on currently and who is substantially, you know, a better offensive player, it's Ja Morant in a landslide. It's not even close.
I think that Ja, if you want to dock him a few points or a few spots, because he was 20 last year in this ranking, if you want to put him at like 22 or 23,
sure,
fine. He's got to be in the top 25. 33 is ridiculous, especially when you have some of these players ranked ahead of him. Listen, James Harden had a great season last year. He's been a veteran guy on a team, and he's been good. He's not better than Ja Morant in 2025. Jimmy Butler's not better than Ja Morant in 2025. Bam Adebayo's not better than Ja Morant in 2025.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
So a couple of other things I noticed about this list, and then we'll go ahead and grab a break. I'll get to my power rankings post week three, power rankings in the National Football League. Cooper Flagg debuted on this list. He's on the list as a rookie. 52. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm just one where can we, like, at least put him outside of, like, the top 75 until he plays? You know what I mean? Can I see him fit in with the Dallas Mavericks before we, like, make him a top 60 player or top 55 player in the NBA? I find that a little bit bizarre. And then there was one other ranking I wanted to run by you. And I love this player. I think he's a really good player. Is Evan Mobley really a top 15 player in the NBA? And the guys he's ahead of. He's ahead of Anthony Davis. His teammate, Donovan Mitchell. He's ahead of Devin Booker. He's ahead of Kawhi. He's ahead of James Harden. Like, he's ahead of Karl Anthony Towns. I saw that ranking, and I think Jalen Williams at 11 is kind of egregious.
Jalen Williams at 11 is wild.
But 13,
that's crazy.
13 for Evan Mobley blew me away.
I'm actually okay with Evan Mobley.
Okay.
Because
all right.
When you look at it.
I think it's more projection than what it looked like last year, though, to me.
He was all NBA, all defense, defensive player of the year, all-star last season. That is
sure.
A hell of a year. And technically, that means he's a top 15 guy in the league.
Okay. All right.
I am okay with Evan Mobley being there.
Jalen Williams was all NBA too, right?
He was. And Jalen Williams was also all defense. Listen, I think that Jalen Williams is definitely one of the best players in the league. 11, let's relax a little bit. But, you know, but Jalen Williams is a top 20 guy. I think Jalen Williams is a top 20
sure.
guy. Evan Mobley, I can see an argument for him being top 15. 13, you know, he is ahead of a few.
Anthony Davis gets hurt, and I know Anthony Davis is off the floor. But, like, Anthony Davis does what Evan Mobley does better than him.
What I don't like about this list is it seems like the criteria change from player to player.
Yes, for sure. And winning was held in a very
winning gets held. Like, guys that were on better teams have better rankings. Health was only taken into consideration for some players. Age was kind of thrown out the window, and people were like, that's why Jimmy Butler at 18 is insane. That's crazy.
But then for other guys, it docked them pretty heavily, I would say.
There's no consistency throughout the list, and I think that is why it is bothersome. Like, Ja at 33 is crazy.
Kristaps Porzingis is still on the list.
Why?
At 50.
Oh, okay, 50.
That's fine, but like, I don't know what he's going to be next year. I don't know if he'll be the 50th best player in the NBA.
And like, I think that Devin Booker at 16 is like underranked. Devin Booker's awesome. Rate that guy higher. It's not
his
fault that he's on a terrible team.
Yeah. Just because as an owner with new owner syndrome doesn't mean he should be docked for that.
I do like Paolo at 17.
Yeah, but yeah, it was bizarre.
But like, you're trying to tell me that Franz Wagner is ranked ahead of Jokic? Get the hell out of here.
Also, I did like this, and I thought it was relatively fair. Zach Edey at 88. Okay,
cool,
fine.
Solid. I like Kate Cunningham at 12, too.
Okay.
That guy's been awesome.
Right. And Paolo was pretty high, right?
Paolo was 17.
That. Yeah, Paolo was pretty high. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, I need to get to my post-week 3 NFL power rankings. We have some switch-ups all over the place. Make sure you stick around for that. We will start up week 4 of the NFL season coming up tomorrow on Amazon Prime, Seahawks at Cardinals. But before that, we have to get to the official Gabe Kuhn Show post week 3 NFL power rankings. Connor, let's go ahead and start at number 5. All right, they made it in. They're back. I have no doubts about them being a great team, even though they had 8 different coaches leave and they had to replace them. I put the Detroit Lions at number 5. Now, I really wanted to put them a little bit higher, but the team in front of them, and I'm going to sort of show my hand here, the team in front of them beat them. So, like, it's just hard for me to make that leap, but their offense is good. They ran the hell out of the ball against the Baltimore Ravens, who actually fell out of my top 5 this week because they are sitting there at 1 and 2, but that dynamic running back duo of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs is there. Jared Goff is starting to play a whole lot better. It just feels like they're back on their normal track. Now, defensively, what I would like to see from them in the next couple of weeks for them to move up from number 5, I want to see them be a little bit more stout as a defense and less still be opportunistic, but they're a very opportunistic defense at this moment. I don't feel like they're very good necessarily in pass defense or run defense. I need to see them be a little bit more stout on the line of scrimmage, and then I could move them a whole lot further up. You know, limit teams and their scoring, then I would feel better about where the Lions are at. But the Lions, very, very good. They come in at number 5. Packers, inexplicable loss for the most part, I think, against the Cleveland Browns. I know the Browns' defense is very, very good, But to lose to the Cleveland Browns in the situation that they're in right now just seems absolutely insane. Now, Packers played good defense on Sunday, but you can't lose this game and expect not to fall in my power rankings. It's that simple. I still think Jordan Love's a good quarterback. Still think that they could potentially have a good run game outside of playing the Cleveland Browns. Josh Jacobs is great. Wide receiver room, I need to see somebody separate themselves and show something. Matthew Golden was actually decent in this game against the Browns. Sort of his I wouldn't say a coming out party, but you saw him eat up a little bit more targets. He had 4 catches for 52 yards and a long of 34. So they're trying to get him more involved. But the Packers check in at number 4. They fell, actually, from number 1 last week in my power rankings. Chargers. Give me the Los Angeles Chargers. They have moved up every single week. Jesse Minter, defensive coordinator, is doing a heck of a job keeping everything in front of his defense, playing with more high safeties. But at the same time, they are stuffing the run. They have really good personnel, even though you don't know the names of these guys. Tyre Tart in the middle. You have, certain guys that you know, just make plays for that defense. Deion Henley at the linebacker position. Not a big-name defense, but they're showing up. And then Justin Herbert, you just see him growing and growing and growing and sort of having this breakout season. And Greg Roman, clearly their offensive coordinator, who's been known as a run game coordinator for the most part, he clearly did something this offseason to play his offense and make his offense more friendly to his quarterback. And that was the smart thing to do. I mean, the guy makes $55 million per year. Why wouldn't you tailor the offense to him? But it just feels like it's a very well-balanced team. And I don't think anybody in the National Football League wants to see the Los Angeles Chargers on a Sunday right now. Give me the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills, I've seen them do it in different ways, right? Week 1, you beat the Ravens in comeback fashion with a 250-yard quarter and a 394-yard game from Josh Allen through the air. Then against the Jets, you play a defense that's stout, that limits a lot of what you do. What does Josh Allen do? He doesn't turn the ball over, takes the plays that are there, and just gets a ho-hum win, just gets a workmanlike win. And then this past week, on Thursday Night Football, I thought he did the same thing against the Miami Dolphins. 22 for 28, 213 yards, 3 touchdowns. And James Cook was a big part of that game plan. 19 carries for 108 yards, 1 touchdown. If Josh Allen continues to play turnoverless football, this Bills team is going to be really, really hard to beat. Take a guess.
Go Birds.
Yeah, it's Philadelphia Eagles. For every reason under the sun. Defense is good. They're going to be without Nolan Smith for a little bit, so we'll see how they get around that. He was sort of coming into his own as their outside linebacker, edge rusher, but they have a lot of good talent on that side of the ball anyway. Secondary looks good. Offense looks good when it needs to. You can say they're boring all you want, but they've won 19 of their last 20 games. They won a Super Bowl in that stretch. It's hard for me to down a team who just goes out there and wins on a consistent basis. And we can sit here and try to poke holes in Jalen Hurts' game all we want, but he shows you time and time again, and you never learn the lesson. You just never learn the lesson. Just because he throws for 100 yards in one game and they win by 4 or 3 and it's a one-score game does not mean that the next game he won't throw for 300. He does what the game asks him to do. And we could have some questions about Kevin Petullo, their new offensive coordinator, but I noticed last week when the game called for Jalen Hurts and that wide receiver core to get more involved, he dialed up the plays to go make that happen. And then, of course, special teams, big play this week, right? You get a block on the potential game-winning go-ahead field goal against the Rams, and then Jordan Davis takes it back for 6. So Eagles are going to be at the top of these power rankings until they lose, to be honest with you. They have shown me enough. They've shown just consistent winning for a 20-game stretch that's just not common for National Football League teams. So there's that. That's that. So in review, Lions at 5, Packers at 4, Chargers at 3, Bills at 2, and Eagles at 1. My team on the outside looking in, my first team on the outside looking in and others receiving votes this week, Connor, it is the Indianapolis Colts and Indiana Jones. I've seen a lot. And here's the thing, Connor, that I would just tell people to do. And obviously there's other teams that could definitely lift themselves up. I've really appreciated what I've seen from the Buccaneers at 3-0. 49ers, if you can just get healthy, you can get into my top five. You can get into these power rankings. But damn, they are struggling with health. I don't know if you saw it today. We'll talk about it here in a little bit. Trip around the National Football League, but Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings did not practice today. That's literally all they have in their wide receiver room at this moment. So that's tough. But what I've seen from the Colts is a team that has a good defense, that's comfortable with Daniel Jones at quarterback. He has yet to turn the ball over. He's thrown for 816 yards through three games. Jonathan Taylor leads the NFL in rushing yards. That's a big help. Their offensive line looks really good. But, like, I see what they're doing, and you could sit there all you want, Connor, and say they played the Titans and the Dolphins, and that's a majority of their production. I think that win versus the Broncos in come-behind fashion winning 29-28 was pretty good. But what they're doing seems sustainable. Like, it just feels like they have an understanding of what's expected of them. They're not doing anything overly special. They're running the football. They're stopping the run. They're playing good defense. And that's a sustainable formula in the National Football League. So the Colts would be in my number six spot. They're number one in others receiving votes.
Where are the Bucks?
Bucks would probably be in my seventh spot. I don't go that deep. I just have my one team on the outside looking in that if they have a good week, they could hop right into the NFL power rankings. But that the Colts are there. Bucks are close. Bucks are very, very close. I did see, you know, we talked about Desmond Watson, the 450-pound defensive tackle who they signed to the practice squad.
Wonder why.
No. I saw this today. Todd Bowles says they're not going to lift him up for the game against the Eagles.
Then what's the point?
That was my question. I had the same exact question.
Is he or stay with me here. In practice, he's simulating being
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Jalen Hurts during a touch push.
He can't move his legs as fast. And there's no guarantee he can squat as much as Jalen Hurts. Let's be honest about that. Jalen Hurts is a freak of nature. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, what would be the point of bringing in a 450-pound D tackle that you haven't even let practice because he was out of shape during camp? Why would you bring him in the week of the Eagles game and then not lift him up to stop the touch push? Just seems dumb to me.
Getting him ready for the Seahawks.
And then I know that they have looked meh through the first 3 weeks. The Ravens and the Chiefs, I expect.
Right.
And they play each other this week.
And the
Rams.
So
one team's going to be 1-3. The Rams as well. But the Ravens and the Chiefs, I truly expect them, one of them, if not both of them, to break into these power rankings in probably the next 5 or 6 weeks. Just feels like you can't hold them down for too long. They're way too talented. All right, now our number two is on the way, and David Cobb from CBS Sports will lead us off. We will preview week 5 of the college football season when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.